Hi, my name is Rebecca Rosenberg, and I'm the founder and CEO of Reboca Vision Technologies, and this is your assistive technology update.
Welcome to your assistive technology update, a weekly dose of information that keeps you up to date on the latest developments in the field of technology designed to assist individuals with disabilities and special needs. I'm your host, Josh Anderson, with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to episode 659 of Assistive Technology Update. It is scheduled to be released on January 12th, 2024. On today's show, we are super excited to welcome Rebecca Rosenberg. She is the founder and CEO of Reboca Vision, and she is here to tell us all about their app and how it can assist individuals with some visual impairments. We also have a quick story about a new device that could maybe turn your iPhone into your old school BlackBerry. Also, if you're interested, we just released our list of full-day trainings that we'll be doing here at the Indata Project over the course of the next year. You can find those at easterseals.com/full-day, and we'll put a link to that down in the show notes. But for now, let's go ahead and get on with the show. Folks, our first story today actually comes from something somebody brought to my attention. For a lot of folks, especially those probably my age or maybe a little bit older, they remember the good old days where you didn't really have much of a touch screen on your phone, or if you did, it didn't do a whole heck of a lot. But a lot of folks and enthusiasts had a BlackBerry. Now, for folks who don't know what a BlackBerry was, BlackBerry was a cell phone maybe about the size of an iPhone, give or take, maybe a little bit wider and a little bit shorter. But the screen only took up the top part of that. And at the bottom was this large, full, tactile keyboard. The buttons were kind of small, rounded, easy to press with your fingers. For folks who used a BlackBerry and enjoyed a BlackBerry, I tell you what, they could type out an entire blog post, a really long email, very quickly on there with kind of the two hands. And there are a lot of folks out there who are still huge BlackBerry enthusiast. In fact, the person that sent this to me, I've known for years, and they are a BlackBerry enthusiast and have missed it ever since. Well, they sent me a link over to a company called Clix, and it's at clix.tech. In fact, we will put a link down in the show notes in case you want to go check this out for yourself. But the device that they have is the Clix Creator Keyboard. And essentially what this does is it is a keyboard case that connects to an iPhone. Looks like they have models for iPhone 14 Pro, iPhone 15 Pro, and iPhone 15 Pro Max. And what this case does, it's kind of a silicone case you can easily slide your phone into. And then at the bottom of it, it has what I can only describe as pretty darn close to being that BlackBerry keyboard. From what I've been able to read about it, it sounds like it works a whole lot like that. In fact, once you connect the case, the on-screen keyboard completely and totally gets disabled. So you're only using that keyboard. A couple of advantages of this, of course, is a whole lot more real estate on your screen. So if you're using magnification, very large font, you could easily kind of have that show up on there. For other folks, just having that tactile keyboard could be a really great accommodation. I know I have some folks who that is the biggest thing they miss. Give me buttons. Give me actual things that I can hit down here. In reading a little bit about it, it says that you can even kind of have keystrokes and other things kind of set up on there that can make it even a little bit more accessible. For me, and I have not tried it, but looking at it, I feel like it would be take me a little bit of getting used to not drop my phone every time that I was actually trying to use it. Now, the device itself, it says if you purchase now, some models it looks like will be shipping February 1st, some others in mid-March, and others in early spring. So this isn't quite out yet, but a few of the reviews that I could go and kind of find online for folks who had maybe a kind of a hands-on demo said that the buttons are pretty easy to use. It did say if you have an iPhone 15 Pro Max, the bigger guy, that it seemed a little bit easier because the keys, of course, were a little bit larger. It said on the Pro, just the Pro model, a little bit smaller. So a little bit kind of harder to get used to. But they did say what was really nice was having all that extra screen space. Because if you're writing something very long, or again, if you're using larger font or maybe something else that, takes up a lot of that space, you can really get a lot more information on the screen without the keyboard coming up. So I know some folks I've kind of worked with, we've used external keyboards for their iPhone and maybe some other kinds of Bluetooth devices in order to be able to kind of access it and have that tactile, not have to worry about trying to touch a screen which really doesn't have landmarks or a whole heck of a lot to go by whenever you're trying to type. This could definitely be a pretty good accommodation. They are not cheap. It looks like the iPhone 14 and 15 Pro models are about $139, and the iPhone 15 Pro Max is $159. So they do definitely have a price to them. But at the same time, if this is something you've been looking for, if you're that BlackBerry enthusiast, or if you just feel much more comfortable with an actual tactile QWERTY keyboard connected to your phone, this could be a really good accommodation or a great way to get back that nostalgia of the good old BlackBerry right there on your iPhone. Again, I will put a link kind of over to their site down in the show notes. And I'm really looking forward to hopefully being able to kind of get my hands on one and actually try it out, see how it works, and see if it's something that might be able to help out somebody out there with their access needs. Listeners, our guest today is Rebecca Rosenberg, and she's here to tell us about Reboka and how it can assist individuals with new and more accessible ways to visually access the world around them. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking really forward to talking about the technology. But before we do that, could you start off by telling our listeners maybe a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Rebecca, and I have ocular cutaneous albinism. And as a result of that, you know, a vision impairment that I have grown up with. I was born with it. I've had it my entire life. And you know, as I was growing up, I really was unhappy with the assistive technologies that were available to me as someone who had a really moderate case of low vision. There was a lot of things I could still do. Most people who looked at me wouldn't necessarily, even as a kid, been able to tell that I had a vision impairment. Mm-hmm. And it felt like everything that was coming in my direction was really geared toward totally replacing vision, or you know, giving me options that are just solely audio based. Where on the other side of that, it was like kind of just your basic physical glass magnifier. And I didn't really feel like those were what I needed when I was growing up. And so had kind of thought about that problem for many, many years. Ultimately went to school for biomedical engineering at Bucknell. Learned a whole lot about how a lot of things work, and was able to sort of take some of that knowledge and turn it into this opportunity to create assistive technology that is really appropriate for people like myself who have this sort of moderate vision impairment, who really just need something to help enhance the existing vision that they do have. So kind of started off on that pathway, continued finishing up my degree in biomedical engineering, actually moved on for a couple of years to get my master's degree from the Johns Hopkins Center for Bioengineering, Innovation, and Design. And then really discovered that the technology that we had created for Reboka was in a place where it needed me to be tending to it all the time. And so that's how I became sort of the full-time CEO of Reboka.
Awesome. Well, you kind of led me straight into my next question. What is Reboka?
Great question. Okay. Reboka is an assistive technology that is smartphone-based. So it's an app-based assistive technology that allows users to augment the way that the world looks to their specific needs in any situation. So what that actually means practically is that we are using a live camera feed from your device, so from your iPhone or your iPad, and we're allowing people to add custom video filters on top of that live camera feed so that they can adjust things like colors and contrast and exposure all in real time, so that they can kind of just use their device as a portal into a world that is geared to exactly what they need to see. And then they use their device to kind of read menus at fast food restaurants or the board at school, or we have people who use it to play in an orchestra to actually follow along with their conductor, or play board games or spot their friends in a large crowd. I could go into a whole lot of detail on the creative ways that our users have found ways that Rebocca has benefited them specifically. But that is really the basis of the technology, is providing those known vision assistive capabilities in a already really well-known piece of hardware, mm-hmm. so that people can make the adjustments that they want in any setting.
Awesome. Well, we'll probably get into some of the cool ways that folks have used it here kind of later on. But you mentioned, you know, some of the kind of the color filters and the contrast and things. What all kinds of visual things can I manipulate using Rebocca?
Yeah, all sorts of things. Contrast, I think, is one of the mm-hmm. most used features in the app, because I think there's a lot of vision impairments that do lend people to be more contrast sensitive. I know I'm one of those people. That is usually the first button that I am going for. Things like exposure. So if you're in sort of a dark setting, you can use exposure to brighten things up, but the brightening that you're doing, it's happening in software instead of like turning on your phone's flash, which a lot of people like in especially restaurant environments when they maybe don't want to like blast everybody in like a 10-foot radius with the camera light, but they need a little bit of extra brightness. That's something people like a lot. Different color filters. So when I was a kid, I was provided these sort of plastic transparencies mm-hmm. that were all just different colors. And I didn't understand it as a kid. I was like, this is kind of ridiculous. Why? What am I doing with this? And my social worker was like, no, just try it. Just trust me. And so, you know, I placed that on what I was trying to read, and it was immediately more easy, or it was immediately easier for me to look at. I think that it helped increase contrast. It helped to decrease glare in some circumstances. And I really found that yellow was a color that I liked. Mm-hmm. But everybody has a different preference. I know a lot of people like red, a lot of people like green. And so we basically recreated that same sort of concept, but digitally with our color filters. Plus, you can do all the things you would expect to do with different inversion types. You can totally invert all of your colors, you know, grayscale, things like that. Nice. And you can combine those sets of adjustments together. And when you find a combination that you really like that works for you in a given situation, you can save that as a preset for quick access later.
Oh, nice. So I can save it for different situations and things like, you know, you kind of mentioned being at a restaurant or, you know, kind of, you know, trying to find friends. I can just have those presets so I'm not jumbling through all the different settings kind of for every unique situation.
Exactly. And we find, you know, the example I give is, you know, I had a professor in college who liked to write on the whiteboard with green marker for some reason. Mm-hmm. And that's one of, I think, the lower contrast colored markers that you could choose. Sure. And so had I had this when I was in college, I would have created a preset specifically for that class that would help make that green stand out a little bit more against that whiteboard. And it's something that I could come back to every other day as I had that class.
Awesome. Awesome. Rebecca, you kind of mentioned this a little bit, but you said, you know, kind of growing up, a lot of the assistive technologies didn't really fit your needs. Can you kind of dig into that a little bit and just kind of how that led you to create Rebocca?
Yes, absolutely. You know, growing up, there were a lot of different assistive technologies and things that were provided to me. It kind of all started when I was in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And I started receiving sort of these really big print textbooks. And they came in a couple different varieties, but they were all incredibly large and on like actually physically very large paper. I think it was like 11 by 18 sized paper. And I was not a very large fifth grader. And so the book was like pretty much the size from my knees to my shoulders, just about. And it was really great. I could write in them most of the time. Then there was sort of these other versions that for my sort of bigger, you know, middle school science textbook, because of the way they had to print them, there were usually 10 volumes of this big textbook to make up one book. And while that was really good and the big print was really helpful to me, what wasn't so great was when I, you know, when the teacher decided to skip from chapter 2 to, oh, you know, today we're going to take a sidebar and go to chapter 11. Well, then I would have to walk all the way down to the counselor's office, search for whichever version of the textbook had chapter 11 in it, and walk back to class sometimes 10 or 15 minutes later, halfway through the lesson already having been done. And so, you know, while these big books were really helpful to me, they also had a lot of downsides. And right around the time I was entering seventh or eighth grade, I think the iPad had just come out. It had been out maybe a year or two at that point. Mm-hmm. And I sort of started to dip my toe into the world of sort of digital books. Mm-hmm. And realized that there might be an opportunity for me to get my textbooks as PDFs. Nice. And so it took quite a bit of, I guess, personal advocacy on my part, but I did convince my parents to get me an iPad for this purpose. And I did manage to convince my state's low vision support organization to reach out to publishers and see if they could get me the textbook as a PDF. Nice. And I pretty much saw, as I went into eighth grade, how the iPad completely transformed my school life workflow. Mm-hmm. My backpack wasn't as heavy. I wasn't the like weird kid with all of these huge books. I was like the cool girl who got to take her iPad to class. And it was really, I mean, especially for things like math, where some of the audio-based formats or some of the big books would sort of augment the way a fraction looked, mm-hmm. In a way that was very difficult. These PDFs didn't have that problem. And so I really saw how this transformed my life. And as it turns out, my state's low vision services organization also saw how that transformed my life, because within 2 years, they were giving iPads to quite a number of their students to do exactly the same thing. And it was sort of something that I very unintentionally kind of pioneered when I was, I mean, even just 13. Mm-hmm. And having seen how quickly assistive technology that is digital and that is based in pieces of hardware that we are already familiar with and already using, seeing how that transformed things for me, I think really set up the work that I ultimately would do with Roboka really well. And taking these assistive technology features out of sort of these enormous, expensive clinical devices and putting them into a format that is comfortable for people, I think it really, that's kind of the trajectory that it all took.
Nice. Very nice. And your experience is one I've heard from a lot of folks with different kinds of disabilities, just going from, oh, these, like you said, the huge books or maybe huge devices or 10 things to do 10 different things, all the way down to using, you know, kind of one device with maybe some different apps and some different accessibility settings. And not only that, but you kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head that I've heard from other folks. I'm not singled out by having all these giant books. I'm using a device that other people understand, other people use. So very, 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 very cool. Well, the app itself, where is it available?
Yes. Right now, the Roboka app is available on the App Store. We do not have an Android version yet, but there is an Android waitlist on our website. So if people are interested in the Android version, we very much welcome them to sign up for the waitlist, and they will be the first to know when we have updates regarding the development of the Android version.
Very cool. And then the app itself, is there a cost or a subscription, anything like that?
So the Roboka app is free to download, and we provide a set of basic features totally for free. Just fundamentally, we believe that assistive technology is something that everybody should have access to. With that said, if we're going to continue doing this work, we do need to make a little bit of money. And so there are some plus features, we call it Roboka Plus, behind a $3 a month paywall. And that's in the United States. Those are transferred to other currencies all around the world. The other way that we provide Roboka is actually working with organizations to make Roboka Plus available for free in their space. And so when users download the app, one of the things we ask is to be able to use your location occasionally. And the reason that we ask that is so that we can provide Roboka Plus for free to you when you're in those locations that work with us. Can't say too much about those locations at this moment in time, but we're very excited to be announcing some really major partnerships in the next couple of months.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to try to give an update on the show once those kind of are announced, just to let folks know kind of where that's available. And I love that, because it allows, you know, kind of the businesses to take on some of that and try to make their spaces a little bit more accessible. So very, very cool. When we're talking kind of about the subscription service, what kind of benefits do you get? Because you said, I know you kind of get the basics for free, but what kind of extra of features or settings or things do you get for subscribing?
Yeah, so you get access to the ability to save more presets, which is something that we
Nice.
saw a lot of people have interest in having. Access to additional filter options, so different inversion things, the yellow on blue things people are kind of used to seeing. Plus the ability to actually, and this is I think my favorite functionality, the ability to actually upload photos to Rebokah and adjust them in the app instead of just being able to use the live camera.
Nice.
That was a highly requested feature. And one of the ways people use that I think of a lot is when I was in school, if I was maybe sick a day and my friend took pictures of the board notes in class and then sent them to me, they weren't necessarily the most accessible, again, because of that like green marker on the whiteboard problem. And so instead of kind of just being at a loss or needing to ask my friend actually for pictures of their notebook, I could upload those pictures to Rebokah, make those adjustments, and then save those pictures again with the adjustments that I made so that became accessible to me.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Earlier on, you said, some interesting ways that folks use this. And I know when I was kind of researching this, I saw you use the Rebokah app at a basketball game, which I thought was super cool and something you don't always think about kind of using, your phone or an app or something to be able to access. So what are some really kind of cool ways that you've heard that folks have been using the Rebokah app? Maybe some that even surprised you or some that are just cool stories.
Yeah, so many ways. And I always encourage people if they, when I do things like this, if you're a listener and you have a cool way that you're using Rebokah, please do reach out to us. It's something that keeps our team going to just see how creative people have gotten with the technology. So, oh gosh, where do I even start? We had one person who was in college who actually used Rebokah to take an American Sign Language class. Because without the technology, she actually wouldn't have been able to see the professor sign, but she could use Rebokah to actually access that learning experience, which I just think is so cool. Another one of my favorites, absolutely, is the person who used it in the orchestra. And so you could kind of see they had set up the iPad to look at the conductor, but the iPad was close to that person and really zoomed in on the conductor. That's obviously a situation where operating in real time is incredibly important, which is something that our technology does really well. Another example of, the basketball game, I think, is a great one. I've had a lot of people reach out recently and say they're using it at concerts.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't, I went, I don't go to a lot of concerts. I wish I did. But I did go to a concert a couple of weeks back, and I think we were in like the most nosebleed seats you could possibly have been in that arena. And even I, having developed the technology, was shocked at how much better I could see what was going on stage using Rebokah from my incredible nosebleed seats. And it was incredible. It really made all the difference. I could actually see the dance moves and the facial expressions of the people on stage. It's just not something that I would have ever thought was possible. I think one of my other favorite examples is we have a user who plays Dungeons and Dragons. And so, if I understand that correctly, you kind of jump back and forth between needing to see distance, so seeing the pieces on the board and reading your cards or your character sheet kind of up close. And so he said normally he'd need two additional tools with him, one to see far away and one to see close up. But with Rebokah, he pretty much needed zero extra tools, because he had his phone anyway and could use it to go back and forth both between distance and that close-up reading that he had to do.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I love that people are just using it, everyday life, the things you're trying to do. And hopefully, you can make some more concerts this year, call it, clinical research. Maybe you can kind of work that kind of in. Well, and kind of along those lines, Rebecca, I know you said that, you're kind of working with businesses to get it in, but kind of maybe what's next, for Rebecca and for you?
Absolutely. So I think one of the next things that we are working on that I am most excited about is actually the integration of some AI technology. And I can't say too much about what that means yet, but we are well on our way to the development of AI for low vision in a way I have not seen anybody else do to date. And I do not hear anybody else talking about. And so we are so excited to be really kind of pioneering this section of AI for disability. And can't wait to show people. We will be taking or intaking beta testers for this in the near future. But we're so, so excited to show what that's going to do and how that revolutionizes this technology even further.
Awesome. Well, if our listeners want to find out more about Revoca, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So they can do that online. Our website is just reboka.com, R-E-B-O-K-E-H.com. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook, Revoca Vision, I think on both of those platforms. We are on TikTok. Anywhere that you sort of get your social media, you will find us. And if they're interested in kind of learning more about the low vision space and different challenges, I have actually recently started a blog on Medium at Real Rebecca Rose, where I'm sharing a lot of the experiences and learnings that I have found through building this company and just having the opportunity to talk to so many people with vision impairments. So really excited about that.
Awesome. We will put links to that in the show notes so the folks can find all of those and definitely keep up on updates, because it sounds like you got a lot of cool, very interesting stuff coming out here in the future. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on the show today, for telling us about Revoca, kind of the thought process behind how it was made, the cool things that are coming up with it, and the great ways that it can really help folks. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you have a question about assistive technology? Do you have a suggestion for someone we should interview on an assistive technology update? If so, call our listener line at 317-721-7124, send us an email at tech@eastersealscrossroads.org, or shoot us a note on Twitter at @IndataProject. Our captions and transcripts for the show are sponsored by the Indiana Telephone Relay Access Corporation, or INTRAC. You can find out more about INTRAC at relayindiana.com. A special thanks to Nicole Prieto for scheduling our amazing guests and making a mess of my schedule. Today's show was produced, edited, hosted, and fraught over by yours truly. The opinions expressed by our guests are their own and may or may not reflect those of the Indata Project, Eastersheels Crossroads, our supporting partners, or this host. This was your Assistive Technology Update, and I'm Josh Anderson with the Indata Project at Eastersheels Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.